Before I start preaching, I'm going to let you help me sing a song. There's a song I sang with the teenagers and the bus workers.
And so, Jack, you come up here and stand, and you can help me. And let's see who else would be of a help to me on this song. Jonathan. Now, there's a difference. Jonathan, you come over here, and you're going to be on my right side. Jonathan is very calm and cool, and Jack is whacked out.
That's right.
And so, you guys are going to help me sing this song. You do not. Okay, all right. Everybody, if you'll stand up for me. And those of you that know it, you can help me with it. It goes like this. I'm all wrapped up, I'm all tied up, I'm all tangled up in Jesus. I'm all wrapped up, I'm all tied up, I'm all tangled up in God. I'm all wrapped up, I'm all tied up, I'm all tangled up in Jesus. I'm all wrapped up, tied up, tangled up in God. Amen. We're getting a little Pentecostal in there. I hope you got that. Okay. How many of you have never heard that before? Will you raise your hand? Where were you at? We just sang. See, this is that thing I was telling you about the announcement. 40% never.
Yeah.
Right, Jack? Okay, right, Jack? Thank you. Okay, we're going to do it again. But this time, we're going to pick the pace up just a little bit. All right, here you go. You ready? I'm all wrapped up, I'm all tied up, I'm all tangled up in Jesus. I'm all wrapped up, I'm all tied up, I'm all tangled up in God. I'm all wrapped up, I'm all tied up, I'm all tangled up in Jesus. I'm all wrapped up, tied up, tangled up in God. Amen. Now I think you can go even faster.
Yes, yes.
Okay, you ready, Jack?
Ready.
You ready, John? All right. Michael, you ready? All right. Here we go. Keep up. Hey, and some of you, you're smiling. Do you realize that? Is it hurting your face? You can do it. Here we go a little bit faster. I'm all wrapped up, I'm all tied up, I'm all tangled up in Jesus. I'm all wrapped up, I'm tied up, I'm all tangled up in God. I'm all wrapped up, I'm tied up, I'm all tangled up in Jesus. I'm all wrapped up, tied up, tangled up in God. Amen. You can have a seat. Thank you very much. Good deal. Take your Bibles and turn to Acts chapter number 16. Acts chapter 16. Once you arrive at Acts 16, find verse number 16. Acts chapter 16, verse number 16. Acts 16, 16. Then stand with me if you would. Acts chapter 16, verse number 16. I'll read out loud. You can follow along silently. The Bible says this, and it came to pass, as we went to prayer, a certain damsel possessed with a spirit of divination met us, which brought her masters much gain by soothsaying. The same followed Paul and us and cried, saying, these men are the servants of the Most High God, which show unto us the way of salvation. And this did she many days, but Paul, being grieved, turned and said to the spirit, I command thee in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. And he went out the same hour. And when her masters saw that the hope of their gains were gone, they caught Paul and Silas and drew them into the marketplace unto the rulers, and brought them to the magistrate, saying, these men, being Jews, do exceedingly trouble our city, and teach customs which are not lawful for us to receive, neither to observe, being Romans. And the multitude rose up together against them, and the magistrates rent off their clothes and commanded to beat them. When they had laid many stripes upon them, they cast them into prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely, who, having received such a charge, thrust them into the inner prison and made their feet fast in stocks. Verse number 25 is our text verse, and it says this, and at midnight Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. And let's pray. Father, bless us with thy presence. Take the simple truth of tonight. Get glory to thyself through it. Holy Spirit of God, as we spoke of you this morning, I pray that you would come and do a work deep, deep within us tonight, please. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I call the sermon A Midnight Singspiration. If you are listening to the story, you can see why. Paul and Silas were in the city of Philippi. A demon-possessed damsel began to mock Paul. Paul was grieved by her mocking. He turned to her and commanded that the evil spirit leave her. The girl's demonic ways had made her master a lot of money. She was, in modern-day vernacular, she was a bit like a psychic, if you will.
And they were making money off of her. And at Paul's command, the evil spirit leaves her, which leads me to believe that she got born again, and that spirit left her. Her bosses became very angry with the Apostle Paul. You say, why? Well, they were making a lot of money off of her. Now she has been saved, very possibly. The spirit has left her, and now she's about to behave herself, and she'll leave behind the demonic, psychic, astrology kind of stuff, and now it's going to hurt their business. They're going to lose money. Paul, because her bosses are mad, her bosses are connected with the local government, the magistrate, if you will, and Paul is taken to the marketplace. And he is verbally attacked. They start, this girl had been following Paul around, giving him a hard time with her nasty ways. Now she gets saved or something changes. And now her bosses are losing money. Paul is going to now be mocked and abused again. And so they take Paul and Silas to the marketplace. The magistrate gets a crowd all wound up, all mad at Paul and Silas. And next thing you know, they beat Paul, the Bible says, with many stripes. In other words, they took the cat of nine tails and they beat them with that cat of nine tails. And then they throw Paul and Silas in jail. Now Paul and his assistant Silas are in prison. They're bloody. They're beaten. They're humiliated. Of course, they've taken their possessions away from them. When you go into jail, they take your things away from you. And there they are, lying there. And the Bible says midnight comes. And at midnight, what would they do? Here it is. They're in jail at midnight. Well, let me tell you what they were not doing. They were not whining. They were not complaining. They were not being mean. They're not being critical. What in the world were they doing? I mean, they have just been really falsely hurt and falsely accused. You understand what they said about them? Said these people are teaching customs that are illegal. Just so you all know, what God says is legal is what's legal. Oh, now they have beaten them, humiliated them, stripped them, and have abused them. And I mean, they abuse them emotionally, they abuse them physically, they abuse them, I think, spiritually. Here it is, midnight. I don't know, but at midnight, that's about the time, if you've got an injury, it sure can throb while you're laying in bed. And back then, so you know, some of the jails today, I mean, they've got color television and air conditioning and all sorts of food and private restroom facilities and all sorts of things. Well, in this day, it wasn't quite like that. It wasn't like that. Here's Paul and Silas. They're thrown in jail. They're beaten. They're bloodied. They're hungry. They're humiliated. They're lonely. And what are they doing? I think Paul looked over at Silas and said, "Let's sing a song." Silas said, "Sure. What do you want to sing?" Paul probably bellowed out, "And it's still the blood that saves from sin. It's still the blood." Hey, I think they started singing. Matter of fact, that's what the Bible says. And Paul and Silas began to sing. They sang their first song. Oh, I suppose that some prisoner, a couple cells down, said, "You guys over here, shut up." Now, if I were Paul, I'd be thinking, so what are they going to do about it? In the Hebrew, Paul went, "Nah, nah, 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 nah." Yeah, they couldn't get him. Silas said, "What do you want to do?" Paul said, "Let's sing another one." The Bible says at midnight, they began to sing. I call it the midnight singspiration. Well, you know, the average church has a singspiration. Everybody's excited. And we have air conditioning. And we've got instruments. And people get to singing. And it's a joyful time. And wow, we probably even have some refreshments after the service. Some sweet tea and some banana pudding and maybe some fried chicken. And we'll get together for a fellowship. We're all just, bring the family and bring your neighbors. Wait a minute, it's not that, that's not the setting here. They've been bruised, beaten, humiliated. They're under the gun. They're hurting. And I wish you understood truly what it meant to take the cat of nine tails. I wish you really knew what that meant. They would beat them within inches of their life till they were a bloody mess. The back of their back would look like hamburger, just ground up. And they're singing. Midnight, I believe, in this passage of Scripture, is referring to the dark times of life. The hard times of life. Surely this prison in midnight means the lonely moments in life. The moments in life where we're hurting. I'm sure they felt forsaken. I'm sure they felt beat down, weak. You get beat like that and you get thrown in a prison. I think they were weak. Hey, but you know what? They were not so weak that they couldn't turn to God and sing. You know, I believe that Paul and Silas were able to sing at midnight because of a handful of things. Now, you might say, well, preacher, right now I'm facing an illness, or right now I'm facing something in my life and it seems like it's the midnight hour for me. Well, I'm going to talk to you about why these two men were able to have a singspiration at midnight. But if you say, well, right now it's not the midnight hour for me. Things are pretty smooth for me right now. I mean, my health, it seems okay, and my family and our relationships and everything, it seems okay. And the finances, they're relatively calm. Well, let me warn you, you will face the midnight hour, because everybody faces it from time to time. It's just something that we all go through. But I'm going to show you what I think I see in this story that made it so that Paul and Silas could have a midnight singspiration. And the first is this. Paul could have a midnight singspiration because he was keeping good company at the moment. You say, well, who was that? The Bible says in Acts 16:25, and at midnight, Paul and Silas. Paul and Silas. You know, folks, the right crowd is always right. The right crowd is always right. Paul and Silas were facing the midnight hour, but Paul was with Silas, and Silas was a spiritual person. Now, Paul couldn't have turned to Silas and said, let's sing about Jesus, if Paul had been running around with his flunky, some flunky friend that didn't love God, that didn't go to church. Well, let me say to everybody in here, if you want to be able to sing in the midnight hour, you better spend your time with the kinds of people that would want to sing in the midnight hour. You'll not sing when the hardship comes. And I'll tell you something. There's just some times when you're facing the heaviness of life. One of the ways you can help yourself get through the burden of life is sing your way through. Sing your way through. You pick the songs of God and you sing your way through. But I have to say to everybody in this room, if you spend time with wrong friends when you hit the midnight hour, you'll have a hard time singing your way through, because it is obvious that Paul could have a singspiration because there was a Silas in his life, somebody that loved him, somebody that encouraged him. Wrong friends won't encourage you to sing in the midnight hour. And if they do, it won't be the right singing. So I think right companionship had something to do with singing and that singspiration in the dark hour. Secondly, could I recommend to you that you sing before midnight hits? You sing before midnight hits. The Bible talks about our singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs and making melody in our heart to the Lord. That doesn't mean just at church. That's not just when Brother Edwards is leading the choir. That's not just when Brother Steed is leading the congregation. We're supposed to sing all the time. All the time. You're more apt to sing in the dark hours if you're singing in the light hours. Folks, when you leave church, let me tell you, if you practice a dual lifestyle, you come to church and live one way and then you leave that parking lot and you go out in the world and live a totally different way, you're wrong. If the only time you're singing the songs of Zion is, well, you're here at the church, and then you leave the property, and you've got your country music and your rock music and all that, and then you go out into the world and you sing that music, you won't be singing in the midnight hour, getting the Spirit involved to help you through the hardship of life. I believe Paul and Silas had more than one singspiration before they got thrown in jail. Paul and Silas were traveling buddies. They were traveling around and helping churches and helping people. And I don't think that when Paul turned to Silas after having been beaten and said, "What do you want to do?" And he said, "Well, let's sing a song." I don't think they just thought that up. I think 2 days earlier when they were walking by the river and just having a good old time going to a revival meeting, I believe they got to singing then too. I think Paul said, "Hey, Silas, what do you want to do while everything's calm and everything's cool and everything's going good?" He said, "Let's sing. Let's sing." And folks, if you want to sing in the midnight hour, you better learn to sing at 8 o'clock in the morning and at 12 noon. You better learn to sing the songs of Zion. And you say, why? Because they'll be on your mind and you'll know the words and they're going to help you. You need God's encouragement when it's daylight as much as you need God's encouragement when it's nighttime. And I'll tell you what everybody seems to want to do. Oh boy, the hardship comes and we're going to run to God and get close to Him. Why weren't you close to Him before it hit? Matter of fact, some of the reasons why it hits is because we got away from Him. So there was a midnight sinspiration. What do I see in this story? I see right companionship. I see singing before midnight hit. Then I see this. I would say you need to learn to be familiar with a midnight relationship with God. Now what I said a moment ago was sing before midnight. Now I'm saying, I think you need to learn to have a relationship with God that is not just a midnight, that's not just a daytime relationship, but a midnight relationship. Folks, let me explain. You need to learn to be close to God when you're away from God's people. We all do better when we're around God's people. But you know that God wants to be with you when there's nobody else around. Some of you need, I could help some of your Christianity. Won't you get up a little earlier and read your Bible in the morning and pray and be with God before midnight hits? Take some time away. Get used to being alone with God. I think that Paul sang in the midnight hour because Paul was familiar with being with God when he was all alone and didn't have anybody else to turn to. But not only that, I think you're going to have to realize there's something about which you can sing. Now look, they'd taken Paul and Silas' possessions. They had taken, if you will, their dignity. They had beaten them, humiliated them, mocked them, cussed them, unjustly punished them. Now what in the world are these guys going to have to sing about? Well, they were still saved. And they were still going to heaven. And God was still on the throne, and the Bible was still God's book. I don't think Paul turned to Silas and said, "What do you want to do?" And Silas said, "Well, let's sing." I don't think Paul turned to him and said, "Sing about what? Nothing to sing about. All is lost. I don't have anything to sing about." I don't think that happened. Bloodied, beaten, locked in prison, had no idea when they would get out. You say, "Well, you just know if you read the Scripture, they'll be out soon." They didn't know to read ahead in the Scripture to find out. You ever heard of somebody getting thrown in jail in a foreign country and being in there for years and years and years and years and years about something that in America you would have been in and out in 24 hours with a lawyer? They didn't know. They didn't know if they would be in there for 20 or 30 years. They had no idea. You know, I don't think that they had to debate on this for a long time. I don't think they had to take a long time to figure out something worthy of singing about. I think they knew. God's been good to us. We're not in hell. God's been good to us. And I don't think they looked at everything that they had lost. I think they looked at everything they had kept. Hey, what kind of person are you? When your cup is half full, is it half full or half empty? Do you spend all your time thinking about what you don't have? Or do you spend all your time thanking God for what you do have? Folks, if you'll learn to thank God for what you do have, when the midnight hour hits, you'll be in practice for noticing what you have left, not what you lost. I believe that's what they sang about. I think they were still able to sing because they were able to count their blessings. And I'll say to everybody here, when you're in the midnight hour, count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your blessings, see what God hath done. Count your blessings, name them one by one, and it will surprise you what the Lord hath done. They had a singspiration at midnight. How? Paul was hanging around with the Silas, and Silas was hanging around with the Paul, and that was enough mutual energy to sing when they were in jail. They sang before midnight hit, so they already had songs and they already knew what to do with that singspiration. They had learned to have a relationship with God when they didn't have a congregation of people to pitch in and sing. They also realized there was still something about which they could sing. They were not looking at what they didn't have. They were looking at what they did have. They were not looking at what they had lost. They were looking at what they had gained. They were not looking at the negative. They were looking at the positive. And they were still able to sing at midnight. Not only that, if you're going to sing at midnight, if you're going to have a singspiration in the dark hour, you're going to have to get past what people think. Get past what people think. I'm pretty sure that when Paul and Silas began to sing, the songs they were singing were not the popular ones of the day that the other jailhouse flunkies were used to. And if Paul was anything like a Baptist preacher, he probably couldn't carry a tune in a bucket. They were singing. And I don't think that they let the lost world intimidate the song of God out of them. Listen, go ahead and sing. You say, I'd be embarrassed. There are people that I'd be embarrassed to just sing the songs of God around. Well, what are you doing around them then? You mean you have to curb your testimony and your song for Jesus Christ with the people that you spend time with? Well, what are you doing? Well, that takes you back to Paul and Silas and the fellowship they had. Paul was with the right person. But you got to get past what people think. I promise you, the people in the cells that were near Paul and Silas, they probably did not like the songs. They probably didn't like the words. But Paul and Silas, it didn't matter to them. And I don't think Paul and Silas did this to be irritating. I don't think Paul and Silas were winking at each other. These guys are miserable. They hate it. Louder, sing louder. No, I don't think they did that. I think that they were trying to heal the brokenness. I think they were in jail. They were beat up. It was dark. It was lonely. They were hungry. They were humiliated. And they said, we've got to do something here. We can't just lay here and feel sorry for ourselves and whine and moan and groan and bowl around like big babies. Let's sing. Let's sing. And they began to sing. And it lifted their spirits. But everybody heard it. But it didn't stop them. Not only that, in the midnight hour, when the dark times hit, it'd be best if you had a good song memorized. Be good if you had a good song memorized. Psalm 119:11 tells us, Thy word have I hid in mine heart that I might not sin against thee. But you know, what God's saying is memorize the Word of God. It'll help you not to sin against God because the Word of God is almost like a spiritual antibiotic. You put it inside you and it'll fight that which ails you. But if that's wise, let's face it, if He tells us to sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, probably wouldn't hurt us to memorize the good songs. You know, there are people in here who have a lot of songs memorized, but they're not the good songs. There are people in here that could give me the lyrics to some of the most popular country and western and rock and roll songs. You give me the lyrics because you've got them memorized. Let me recommend that you start memorizing the songs that come out of that songbook because those are the songs that are going to see you through the midnight hour. When life comes crashing in around you and you're facing a burden and heartache, hey, you know that when you're down at the hospital and your child may die and you're there at the hospital, you can't grab a songbook. They don't have those down in the magazine rack at the hospital. You say, preacher told me when I'm in this situation and my heart's heavy, I better sing. And if the only thing that you memorize in regard to words are the words that you heard on the local rock and roll station, that's not going to help you through the heartache and the hardship of life. You better pay attention and learn the songs of Zion. I think it'd be a great idea for parents to teach their kids to sing the songs that are in that songbook. Sing the psalms that are in God's songbook. You need to have a good song memorized. So you've got something to use when it's midnight. Hey, you know that probably in this jail, I'm going to guess they didn't have 100-watt light bulbs for them to flip on a switch. It was midnight. How much light do you think they had? Probably none. I don't know how long they sang, but I can guarantee you they probably sang in the dark. They had no words. So whatever they sang had been memorized. Say, what would be your take on what they sang? They probably sang the Psalms. They probably sang the Psalms. Why? That would have been their songbook in that day. So, what's the midnight hour? That's when you go through a crash in life. That's the hardship. That's a relationship turmoil. That's a sickness turmoil. That's even your own sin turmoil. I mean, we can sin and bring heartache and damage to ourselves. What do you do? Well, you better be spending time with the right companion. That way you'll be able to sing. You better make sure that you learn to sing before midnight hits. You better make sure that you're used to getting close to God when you're alone. I would make sure that you can count your blessings, not the negatives, but the positives. Get past what people think. Memorize a good song. I think when you're in the time of heartache, the next thing I would recommend to you is you must be seeking God's way of comfort, not your own and not man's. Men are so full of pride, they think they know how to comfort themselves. So they let their flesh try to comfort their flesh, and your flesh will destroy you. We let the carnal part of us try to comfort the spiritual part of us. Say, how so? Well, you go through a tough time, you decide, well, I'll get drunk. That's the carnal part of you trying to comfort the spiritual part of you. I'm going through a tough time. I'll get high. So you let the carnal part of you try to comfort the spiritual part of you. I'll seek revenge. And what is that? It's some fulfillment having to do with your pride where I'm going to let the carnal part of me try to take care of the spiritual part of me, and in every instance you're making it worse. You must seek God's way of comforting yourself, not your way, not man's way. I don't know. I've preached in the jails, prisons for a long, long time. I've watched people get put in. You know what they do? They get mean, nasty, bitter, angry, revenge, drugs. You say in jail they can't get them. Don't fool yourself. They sure can. What do? They look for man's comfort for the midnight hour. What's that do? It extends the midnight hour. Makes it longer. Doesn't make it shorter. It makes it worse. I'm glad Paul and Silas did not say, you know what? We could be like everybody else. We'll take our food tray and throw it around. Let's express ourselves with anger and hatred and let's sing the mean songs. That's not what they did. That's not what they did at all. If you want to sing, if you want to have a singspiration during your midnight hour, you better stop seeking the wrong comfort. Something else. Probably the hardest thing is just get started. Just get started. Paul and Silas had been through everything that they'd been through, and I don't know, it maybe had been quiet for a while. I don't know. But I know Paul turned to Silas, or Silas turned to Paul and said, what do you want to do? And somebody said, let's sing. I don't know if they were there and one said, you start. And the other one might have said, you start. Well, what do you want to sing? You pick the first one. But I'll tell you something. When your heart's heavy and you're down, pick a song and just get started. You'd be shocked at how the devil would like to suppress that and keep that from happening. Just get to singing. The first few words are the hardest, and all of a sudden it'll start coming. And all of a sudden the Spirit of God will kick in. I can remember times when I forced myself to sing a song when I was in the valley, but you know something? It wasn't long till I sang myself to the mountaintop. I'd sang and sang, and I just started enjoying it. And boy, isn't it amazing how good music can, it calms us. And it just takes over our spirit and our attitude. I believe they sang in the midnight hour, but somebody had to just get started. Not only that, I think they recognized there were people in worse prisons and worse conditions. I think they recognized that. We're pretty self-centered. We think, I'm the only one that's going through this. But no, I don't care what you're going through. Somebody else has been through it. And probably gone through it with better behavior than you. With more victory than you. With more spiritual power than you. But I think that they looked at it and said, you know what, there have been other people that have been through some things. I think Paul could have turned to Silas and he looked over there and thought, I think Silas is down a little bit. I think Paul could have said, yeah, do you remember Daniel? He got thrown in the lion's den. There are no lions in here. I believe that. I think they didn't look for the people that weren't going through it. They just thought, I bet other people have been through these sort of things. Matter of fact, they've been through worse. And I warn you, because you've heard me say it a million times, don't you ever turn to God and say, well, it couldn't be any worse. He can prove something different to you. He can prove something different to you. It can get worse. Then let me say, you've got to learn to be a positive person, not a negative person, if you're going to sing during your midnight hour. I think they sang songs of praise. I think they sang songs that were uplifting. I think they were positive attitude people. Negative people complain at midnight. Positive people try to be positive. Negative people make things worse. Positive people try to make things better. And the singing will make things better. The modern day psychologist would probably not say to you when you come in and say, oh, I'm going to crack up. Everything I'm going through. He wouldn't say, well, sing a song. But it doesn't matter to me what the modern day psychologist says. It matters to me what the scripture says. And Paul and Silas were stressed. Paul and Silas had been through it. Paul and Silas had been unjustly hurt by someone. Paul and Silas had been unjustly beaten, humiliated, stripped, and abused. And the scripture very clearly teaches that the answer to help them through it, God said, sing. Sing. I hope somehow you'll remember that when you go through your midnight hour. When you face it, and it sneaks up on you, and all of a sudden you're facing something and say, this is overwhelming. How can I deal with this? Just remember this night and say, you know what I think I'll do? I think I'll sing. I think I'm going to sing my way through it. If you're in your midnight hour. So I looked it up. They told me that there were certain things I needed to do. Look up in the Bible what God told you to do. Sing the songs of God. You say, I don't sound very good when I sing. I already know that. That's why God said, make a joyful noise. I talk to ladies that are that play instruments. And this is what they always tell me. They say, preacher, when I'm down, I'll sit down at the piano, and somehow it's got a healing effect on me. You thought that was unique to you. I don't think I've ever met an instrumentalist that could not go to their instrument in a difficult time, and that instrument could not somehow soothe and calm, especially if it's the right music. If it's the right music. If you're a teenager, say, preacher, nobody knows, but my heart ache. My heart is really heavy right now. I recommend something to you. After church tonight, take a little walk and go sing. Go sing. Some of you young couples, someday you'll have a baby, and someday you'll go through a difficult time. You'll have a baby, and that baby will be sick, and it'll be in intensive care. You say, oh, what are we going to do? Oh, pray. I want you to pray. But could I recommend that you go find some place and you and your wife just sing? The day will come, young people, when mom or dad will be on their deathbed. So how am I going to make it through that? Read your Bible, pray, stay in church, but I'll promise you something that's going to help you. Sing. Sing the songs of God. They are healing. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Tonight you have been given spiritual counsel and observation. If you go through tough times, sing the right songs. The wrong songs won't help you. Get around the right people. Develop the right attitude. It's healing. Who here tonight by uplifted hand would say to God, God, you have spoken to my heart tonight. You have spoken to me tonight. I want to put into practice what you've given me. Would you raise your hand so God can see it? Lots of hands. And if you need the altar tonight, maybe you have a heartache or a burden. Maybe you just need to come up here and say, Lord, I'm going to be singing in the next few days. I'm going to be singing. You might need time at the altar. I'll ask the pianist to begin to play. Let's stand to our feet with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. Do you need the altar? Do you need to get on your knees? Do you need to come and pray and say, God, I've not been using this tool. I've not been singing my way through this thing. There are some of you, you get to drive for a living. Hey, you could sing, enrich your spiritual life. There's some of you, you're very lonely. Your husband's gone some, your wife's gone. Life is a bit lonely for you. Can I recommend something to you? Sing. Sing in your loneliness. It's almost like there's another person with you. Singing adds comfort and strength. And don't be deceived. I'm not talking about the wrong kind of music. I'm talking about old-time gospel, decent music. Not honky-tonk music. And to make it clear, I'm not talking about Christian rock and roll, and I'm not talking about contemporary. Some of you, you feed off of that stuff, and you're going to find out. You're going to continue to be a temporary type of a Christian. I'm talking about the old-time religion-type songs that will change lives. They reach deep into your life. They'll affect your heart before they'll affect your foot. That kind of music. I love what the Scripture says. And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God. And the prisoners heard them. There are some of you, if you'll sing while you're going through a tough time, somebody else is going to hear you sing. They're going to see your spirit and see your attitude. And I'll promise you, somebody's going to say, you know what? What do you have to sing about? And I'd say, I'm glad you asked. Let me tell you why I sing at midnight. Let me tell you why I sing when I'm in the lion's den. Let me tell you why I sing. I have a whole sermon, and I need to preach it sometime soon. It's called Get Your Song Back. The people in here, you've lost your song, and you've lost your spirit. Sing. One more time through the song, please. The Holy Spirit can take a song and he can use it to enrich your life and encourage your life. Boy, it's amazing. We can hear somebody get up and do a nice song in church and you say, ah, that thrills me. Did you know something? You can sing when you're all alone and get the same thrill.